A week ago, Singapore celebrated its 50 years of nationhood. It became independent on August 9, 1965. But did you know that it actually became a free nation from a crucible of conflict? It was then a part of what was called then the Federation of Malaya, we now know as Malaysia. The leaders of Singapore, led by Lee Kuan Yew, did not want to separate from the Federation. However, the Malaysian leaders feared that with Singapore part of the Federation, the Chinese will outnumber the Malays, and that would be politically unacceptable to them. And so they insisted on a breakup, and the breakup happened indeed on August 9, 1965. There is an old footage of that event in which Lee Kuan Yew was weeping openly because he did not want to separate from the Federation of Malaya. But forced he was, and the people of Singapore was forced to become a nation, a state on their own. Well, Singapore today is now one of the most affluent nations, not only in Asia, but in the whole world. And not only that, Malaysia and Singapore are at least on very friendly terms. Well, there are such conflicts which prove to be for the profit of the parties in conflict, especially when it leads to reconciliation. At itong uri ng relasyon na ito na maaring dumaraan sa sigalot, ngunit magkakaroon din ng pagkakasundo, ay isang bagay na dapat nakikita sa mga mananampalataya. Ganito dapat ang nakikita sa mga relasyong Kristiyano. Hindi natin naiiwasan ang mga pagkakasigalot, subalit ang nararapat sa mga Kristiyano ay ang kahandaan na magkaroon ng kasunduan. Christian relationship should be a model of the story of conflict leading to reconciliation. And after all, one key message of the gospel is how God reconciled with sinners through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that sinners must realize. Yes, God needs reconciling. But instead of sinners taking the initiative to reconcile, it is God Himself who took the initiative to reconcile with sinners, and that He did through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no reconciliation with God apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And for Christians, they need to demonstrate in their relationship how that reconciliation is not only between God and sinners, but between believers themselves. So our message will only resonate if the world sees such reconciliation in Christian relationship. And this is the thrust of the letter of Paul that we now know as 2 Corinthians. There, Apostle Paul went through brokenness of relationship with the Corinthians after a meeting that resulted in the falling out between the two parties. But Apostle Paul wanted to reconcile. He sent Titus to them bearing a severe letter. And as per Titus's report, many of them repented. And so the reconciliation is now in the process of materializing. And Apostle Paul is using that in order to challenge the Corinthians and with that, the church as a whole, to be true to the message we have, the message of reconciliation. We have just gone through chapter 6 of this letter, and Apostle Paul gave the announcement that now is the acceptable time. This is now the day of salvation. With Christ coming, bago na ang panahon. Ito na ang takdang oras ng pagliligtas ng Diyos. At ang gusto ni Apostle Pablo, walang dapat na malampasan ng ating ministeryo ng balita ng kaligtasan. So Paul's concern is that no one will miss such an opportunity that is now ours and offered to every sinner to know the day of salvation in Jesus Christ. And so Paul, in chapter 6, as we saw, reflected on those characters and virtues that will make the ministry effective. But not only that, he also turned to those who are ministered to, that they too must be prepared to receive the ministry with effectiveness. And one thing that Paul raises in a very straightforward way is that one hindrance to receiving the ministry effectively is an equal yoking, when there is an alliance with unbelievers that compromises one's faith and conviction. So because of this, he gives the promises to which the Christian can hold fast, and from those promises, be motivated to live a holy life. And so when we turn to chapter 7, he begins with that challenge that we must seek holiness, both in spirit and in the flesh. Ganun ang paghahanap ng kabanalan. Hindi namimili, kundi sa kabuuan ng ating pagkatao, hahanapin natin ang kabanalan. So every believer's joint pursuit with brethren is to complete holiness. Now I explained last week that we are now turning to a new section, and the new section is from chapter 7 verse 2 to verse 16, and it turns on or it revolves upon his meeting with Titus in Macedonia. Again, remember, Titus was sent by Paul to sort out issues in Corinth, and now he comes with a mixed report. Mostly happy report, since most of the Corinthians repented, the predominant number of people repented, though a few remained rebellious. Now, our passage is Paul's response to the brethren in Corinth who repented. And in our past series from chapter 10 to chapter 13, the nature of the mature, it is Paul's response to those who remained unrepentant. And what Apostle Paul does here is to challenge the brethren to a relationship that he describes as open heart, heart openness, and that is cultivated by mutual respect between brethren. And now he turns to that key meeting with Titus. Paul, in fact, resumes what he has started in narrating concerning that meeting, and we will see what he is trying to say. But this is the key to this whole section. What happened in that meeting that made it so influential, that made it a turning point for the relationship between Paul and the Corinthians? I invite you now to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 to 7. For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. Now here, Apostle Paul is admitting to something of his restlessness. Because of the broken relationship with the Corinthians, he felt restless. He needed to know immediately their response to his severe letter. So he picks up from the narrative that he has earlier shared, and that is in chapter 2, 12 and 13, where he said, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I did not find Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia." Now just try to digest what Paul is trying to say here. He was in Troas, and there was an opportunity for gospel fruitfulness, but even that did not compel Paul to stay in Troas. There was something so overwhelming in his mind that he needed to know immediately from Titus what has happened. So he left Troas, proceeded to Macedonia in order to immediately know from Titus and know the developments. And in Paul's self-description of his state, he manages to point to God. "I am in this terrible situation," but then he points to God. "And who, and what about this God?" he says, "the God who comforts the downcast." This is my message. God comforts his downcast servant through the encouragement of brethren. Inaaliw ng Diyos ang kanyang nanlulumong lingkod sa pamamagitan ng kalakasan mula sa kapatiran. God comforts His downcast servant through the encouragement of brethren. Paul's speedy action to fix a broken relationship is a lesson for us to imitate, and we'll come to that in a near future message. But for now, let us focus on Paul's own need of comfort and how the Lord comforted, because this is a model to us of the ministry of comfort. Let us see three elements here. First, downcast condition, nanlulumong kalagayan. That's how Paul describes himself, downcast condition. Secondly, gracious companion, nagpapatibay na kasamahan, gracious companion. And thirdly, welcome contrition, katanggap-tanggap na pagbabalik loob, welcome contrition. So these three elements give us a portrayal of what happened to Paul in his meeting with Titus that became very influential in his ministry. The first thing then is downcast condition. Paul is describing his condition in terms that can only point to, at this time, personal vulnerability and frailty. Ang paglalarawan ni Pablo ng karanasan niya sa pagkakataong ito ay makikita natin ang isang nanghihina, nanlulupaypay, nanlulumo na lingkod ng Diyos. If there is anything that we need to learn that the servant has downcast periods to nurture his trust in God as the one who comforts the downcast. I think we all tend to idealize our heroes. And that is especially the case with our heroes of faith. Kung meron tayong tinitingala na bayani natin, lalo pat sa pananampalataya, ay nilalagay natin sila sa isang pedestal na halos wala tayong makitang kahinaan. So we find it hard to associate frailty with Paul. But Paul has no business satisfying an ideal image of himself. In fact, to Paul, lack of frailty is not even an ideal. How does Paul describe himself? Look here, listen to this. Our bodies had no rest. Modern translation, we're dead tired. We're so weary. Coming from the labors of the gospel, and the weariness of labor becomes intensified when one is in the middle of conflict. Hindi ba pag ikaw ay pagod na pagod, pagkatapos may sigalot pa, ay parang sobrang nakapanlulupaypay na. It makes you so exhausted. And we have another wrong ideal of spirituality as being always zealous. Well, that's not how Paul describes himself at this point. There was gospel opportunity in Troas. He left it because he felt so tired. He was not equal to the task physically. And he left Troas because he needed some physical recuperation. Not only that, he says, we were troubled on every side. So another wrong ideal that we attach to our heroes is we think they are always calm, always in peace, constant, steady disposition, never troubled. Well, Paul says, troubled, not only troubled, on every side. Saan man siya bumaling, gulo. Now, you may say, is this not the apostle who wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, make your request be known to God, and there should be the peace of God that passes understanding." But this is the same apostle who now says, on every side, I see trouble. And then he makes it even more specific. Outside were conflicts. Now again, this reveals how affected Paul is at this point by the broken relationship with the Corinthians. Talagang apektado siya nung sigalot niya sa mga taga-Corinto. And then he added even more in a revealing fashion, inside were fears. I mean, Paul has faced all kinds of perils in the course of his mission. We expect a fearless man. But he says, inside, within, are fears. Now, this is Paul in all his humanity. And by that, it is not to say that he has become any less a believer. It is just a fact that we became Christian, and becoming a Christian did not cancel our humanity. We get tired. We get exhausted. We get into conflicts. And now Paul confesses, I am in fear. It is part of the believer's course in life, in his maturing experience of God, that God allows him those downcast periods in his life. Those who think of and try to pretend that trustful living is perpetual calm and peace, that is not maturity. It may radiate some sense of being calm and peaceful and trustful, but a man who never knows what it is to go through downcast periods will never be mature. Precisely, Paul is in this very situation that makes his reference to God so touching. The God who comforts the downcast. Let me say that that is not the title of his series of messages in his pulpit. This is not a Bible study lesson. This is not a lesson in GMA. This is simply Paul's reference to the fact that in his most downcast period, his perception of God is a comforting God. That makes it even more touching. This is Paul in weariness, trouble, conflicts, and fear. And yet seeing a move in providence to comfort him, which makes him free to admit his frailty and give glory to God who comforts. We're good at hiding our frailty. One of the greatest presidents of the United States, without doubt, is Franklin Delano Roosevelt. He was the president of the United States through the course of the Second World War, though he did not finish it, and the only president of the United States elected 4 times. But did you know that Roosevelt did everything to hide his polio from the public? He did all arrangements so that no one will see him in public on wheelchair, or that he was limping. He could not bear the thought that anyone in public will know of his weakness, and he thought that that would lessen his influence as a leader. Well, I beg to disagree, but the point is that we all have that in us. Gusto nating itago ang ating mga kahinaan, mga karupukan, nilalagyan natin ng balat kayo. Apostle Paul did not resort to that, which challenges us, own your frailties, that you might be sensitive to the comfort of God. Paul became sensitive to the comfort of God because he owned, inangkin niya, ang kanyang karupukan. So mortify that pretense of strength that gives the appearance of being unperturbed by trouble. Being a servant of God will not spare you from conflict. People will still criticize and find fault no matter how sincerely you serve. And trust in God does not mean fearlessness. Paul never pretended to be fearless, but he knows the God of comfort. And perhaps the comfort of God has not been that precious to you of late. Could it be because you never admit frailty? You are never frail, and so never perceives the comfort of God. The wisdom of John Bunyan appears in his Pilgrim's Progress, in that some of his characters on the way to the celestial city were people named after their weakness. There was Mr. Fearing. There's Mr. Ready to Hold. All on the way to the celestial city, but all manifesting weakness. And admit that. That's what Paul does. It is downcast condition. Then secondly, considered gracious companion. Nagpapatibay na kasamahan. How did Paul perceive or experience the God of comfort? He tells us, the God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. He tells us that it is a means of grace to have an edifying company in downcast periods. Kasangkapan ng biyaya na magkaroon tayo ng kasamahan na nagpapatibay sa atin sa panahon ng ating panlulumo. Someone commented, if you were to hear testimonies today and if Paul were to follow the way we hear testimonies today, he might have said something like this. God comforted us. When I was meditating deep in the night and a verse came home to my mind like thunderbolt in power, well, I don't deny that God may comfort us in that way through meditation and self-reflection. But here, Paul is very down to earth. He said, God comforted us by the coming of Titus. We must refresh this perspective. It is God's way to deal with us through edification from brethren. Remember the first picture of the church after Pentecost in Acts 2:42? They gave steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Yung pakikipag-ugnayan. I watched a few days ago a documentary from National Geographic about a migrating group of dolphins in their thousands. But the amazing thing is that a small number keeps company with a frail among them. Yung mga nanghihina na dolphins, may umiikot sa kanilang mga kasama nilang dolphins hanggang sa sila ay makarating. What God put as instinct into dolphins should be virtues on our part. God intended it that way, that in our frailty, we need brethren to edify us. And just as I challenge you to all your frailties, I challenge you now to admit your loneliness, that you might appreciate edifying company of brethren. Tanggapin niyo ang kinining niyo ang panahon ng inyong pag-iisa, pangungulila, upang mapahalagahan ninyo ang pagsama na nagpapatibay mula sa kapatiran. Now, think of this. Paul could have waited for Titus in Troas. After all, in fact, Titus was on his way. And besides, if he remained in Troas, remember he himself said there's an open door, an opportunity for evangelism. But Paul could not wait. And here I'll say something that might be a little bit surprising, but what this teaches us is you do not forsake fellowship on the pretext of carrying on fruitful ministry. There are times that fellowship matters more. And this is what Paul felt. It is in the wisdom of God that he fixed a regularity and consistency of Christian assemblies, and you don't dare abandon that on the pretext that I have a ministry of my own. And since this is a means of grace, be prepared to be that companion who will be that means of grace. Now, I keep repeating here, edifying company. And that is because some companies are just not edifying. If, as Paul says here, outside were conflicts, some companies add more conflicts. Or if Paul describes himself as having fears within, some companies would leave you scared to death. So what we need is an edifying company. And be that companion. Be prepared to be that companion. In the language of Paul in Colossians 4, verse 6, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. And this is in the context of Paul's exhortation, redeeming the time, which connects us to now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. Now be that companion who will be a means of grace. Let our church be a venue of people like Titus. What kind of companion? Someone whom Paul thought is worth leaving Troas to go to Macedonia just to meet Titus. Would we be that kind of companion that someone will find leaving something good, leaving something of an opportunity because he could not let pass this fellowship? We hear of the great names of Martin Luther and John Calvin. What we do not realize is that they would not have made it were it not for some of the minor names who were their constant companion. Martin Luther had his Melanchthon. John Calvin had his Theodore Beza. And I could go on and on of these men God used, but they were not alone. They had their edifying companion. And if these men needed that, and if Paul needed that, you need that. That's how God comforts the downcast. Gracious companion. And finally, welcome contrition. The news of Titus brings Paul to such an ecstatic joyfulness. And what is that news? News of the contrition of the majority of the Corinthians. Yun ang nagbigay ng kagalakan kay Pablo. Ang balita ni Titus ay karamihan sa mga taga-Corinto ay nagsisi, nagbalik loob. At ito ay nagbigay kagalakan kay Apostol Pablo. Now take note, Paul's reaction is not, "See, I told them so. Or now who is vindicated?" None of that. Instead, Paul's reaction is, "I rejoiced even more." Lalo akong nagalak. Hindi niya pinagdiinan sa kanila o sinabi ko na sa inyo. O sino ngayon ang napatunayang tama? Walang ganyang saloobin kay Pablo. Narinig niya ang kanilang pagsisisit, pagbabalik loob. Ang agad niyang reaksyon ay napuspos ako ng kagalakan. And Paul's rejoicing is the opposite of his earlier downcast disposition. Because now a broken relationship which caused him to be downcast is now on the way to repair. This is rejoicing due to reconciliation from brokenness. And this is joy. And you should see here the gospel. If you repent of your sin, no matter how terrible you think your sinfulness is, if you take that step to repentance, drawing yourself to Jesus Christ, you will be forgiven, there will be reconciliation, and it is a welcome contrition for joy. Well, you know probably the story behind the song, "Tie a Yellow Ribbon." It is about a prisoner who now is set free and is returning home, but he is in doubt whether he would still be acceptable. And so he wrote with the advice that if he is still welcome, tie a yellow ribbon on the old oak tree. And he said, "If I don't see a ribbon, I'll stay in the bus, forget about us." But lo and behold, when he came to the place, not just a ribbon, but hundreds of it are tied to the tree. It is a note of great welcome. That's what the invitation of the gospel is. It's not a hesitant invitation, but an open welcome to every repentant sinner. And that is what that is the attitude that we should show to a contrite brother or sister with whom we had a falling out, a conflict, now contrite, eh, tularan natin ang ginawa rito na ni Pablo. But I'm going to challenge you with a question. Are you prepared to win sinning brethren by risking broken relationships? Why did Paul have a broken relationship with a brethren? We do not know. But Paul's attempt to fix it is that he wrote a severe letter. The contrition of the Corinthians was in response to Paul's severe letter. But think, what if Paul, tired of this conflict that has cost him so much headache and heartache, what if Paul told himself, it's no use, I would not even write a letter to them. Eh, puro sakit ng ulo, sakit ng puso ang binigay ng mga Korintong ito sa akin. Eh, bakit pa ako mag-aaksaya ng panahon na sumulat ng mahigpit na sulat sa kanila? But Paul did. And by the grace of God, that severe letter was used to bring repentance to the Corinthians. In other words, Paul might have been thinking, if I write this severe letter, the already broken relationship might become worse and become irreparable. But he risked it. And by risking it, we have 2 Corinthians as an example of a relationship that is fixed because someone dared risk a broken relationship. Well, let me say, I had my instances of writing severe letters. Some resulted in total breakup, but I'm happy to say that most led to contrition for joy, risking broken relations. The comfort that is from God is not to leave someone comfortable in sin. It is rather from a downcast contrition, a broken relationship can be repaired. And that is the challenge to us. That approach of Paul in the second letter to the Corinthians has been brought about by that key meeting with Titus. He was willing to leave Troas to be with Titus in Macedonia. And I challenge all of us, let us be a church where edifying fellowship is the rule and where it is worth living. Throw us for the fellowship of Macedonia. Washington Gladden wrote the last song that we will sing, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. It was written in 1879, post-Civil War in the United States. The Civil War ended in 1865, and so tension was still thick in the air. But in this hymn, Washington Gladden reminds believers that it is our task that when we truly walk with the Master, we will be willing that in lowly paths of service free, and that means also, help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward fit to stay, and guide them in the homeward way. May God give us the grace to know that comfort upon our downcast condition so that we may learn to comfort others in their downcast condition. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos at mabuti naming Ama, nagpapasalamat kami sa modelo na ibinibigay ni Apostol Pablo sa kanyang karanasan kung paanong siya man sa kabila na ang tingin namin sa kanya ay mataas, malakas, walang takot, subalit narito ang kanyang pag-amin sa panahon ng kanyang pandulumo, ang katulad niya ay nangangailangan din ng kaaliwan at ang kaaliwan ay iyong ipinagkakaloob at iginagawad sa paraan ng pagpapatibay ng kapatiran So grant, O Lord, that we may understand that it is your way of bringing your servants to maturity, that they go through downcast periods. And if any one of us is in such a period, help us, Lord, to understand that this is the way for us to be sensitive to your comfort. So grant that we may come to humble admission of our frailty, for it is part of maturity. It is mere pretense to profess constant calm and peace in the Christian life, for your comfort is perceived and experienced in those times that we can say with the Apostle Paul, there is trouble on every side, outside our conflicts, inside our fears. And we thank you, Lord, that one means that you deal with us in our downcast situation is through the gracious company of brethren who edify us. So we pray that we may be a church where such gracious company is ready, and that brethren are sensitive to those who are frail and those who are in need of comfort, and may we be those who are prepared to be your means of grace in comforting others. May we be like Titus, whom Paul found worth leaving Troas in order to meet him in Macedonia. And we pray that our church may be such a venue of comforting and edifying company. And we pray that we may know the joy of welcome contrition when there are conflicts that as sinners we cannot avoid. And yet as Christians, we must seek reconciliation. And may we emulate the Apostle Paul in that he did not spare the severe letter. In doing so, he risked a further broken relationship. But that is the way to true contrition, is to challenge, to confront, to rebuke sin. And by the grace of God, it is your instrument in order to bring about contrition and repentance. And we pray for those who are here and have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, that now may be such a day to challenge them to repent, because the welcome of Christ to a repenting sinner is open. And we pray that they may know such a welcome. And may we know as believers and brethren such a joy in welcoming back brethren with whom we may have a falling out. So grant that our church may be such a fellowship where we see God as the God who comforts the downcast. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.